The week before they gave the check, the money out to us in the envelope, I was blessed from a guy at the Elks with $50. And then they gave us the envelope of 20. And I prayed over it and I kept going, God, what do I do with this? So I added to it. At Shiloh, there was a lady praying. She goes, I wish I had some money to bless somebody else with. So I gave her the 20, and she blessed somebody else with it. And she goes, wow. She was just amazed. Then that Thursday, I took my cousin that just moved here from Georgia, and she's a survivor of cancer. And I took her to Costco, and I says, we're going to Inco. To make a long story short, we were in the milk aisle, and this lady was weeping. It's her first Christmas without her family. And she was telling us something, and I turned to her, and I said, what did you just say? She lost her son, her daughter, her grandkids in a trailer fire 6 months ago. And I just held her, because I know what that feels like. I just held her and prayed with her, and I flipped her a 20. Well, as we were leaving and we got in the car, my cousin goes, why did you do that? So she goes, why would you stop and hug a total stranger? I said, because that's what God would do with you. And I said, with you being a total cancer survivor, God has been hugging you through this whole thing. And she goes, but why did you give her money? No one's ever done that to me. No one's ever prayed for me. And I told her, I said, your whole family's been praying for you. She came out of lesbian just in the last 4 months. And she still asks me why. Why would God love her? And I told her, because he created her. So God is really moving on her. And I just thank him for the opportunities that I got to hug the lady that lost her family in a trailer fire because she watched it. And then I got to be, God used me for a witness to my cousin that's never believed in anything. And so God is so good. He gives you directions where to go, who to be with, and to have your listening ears on. That's
it. Well, I was becoming a little worried that I hadn't been able to find somebody to give the money. So about a week ago, I had to go to Walmart. And so I got in line, you know, and there was kind of, everybody was trying to get their Christmas stuff. And so I just would sit in one line, and then I felt like the Lord said, well, get in this line. And I looked at the line and went, oof, I'll have to wait more. But okay, Lord, I'll do that. So when I went to that line, of course, it was taking some time. And I finally decided, this is I'm going to wait right here. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going to wait right here. So, and I was wanting to get on to get home because I was having a lot of things I needed to do. So I finally got up there to this lady. And I said, boy, the line was really long to get here. I said, but I'm glad I'm here. And she started putting my things together, you know. And I said to her, do you live here? She said, well, I don't. I haven't lived here very long. She said, actually, it's just a week and a half. I said, oh, you like it here? She says, well, yeah, I think I like it here. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, she said, where do you live? I said, well, I just live here down the road. And she said to me, she says, you know, I haven't been here very long, and I'm kind of worried about some things. And I said, oh, well, where do you live? Well, she says, I really don't have a place now, but I'm staying with a couple that I don't even know. And I said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I said, you know that Jesus loves you. He'll find you a place. She looked at me, and tears came to her eyes. And I thought, uh-oh, all these people behind me are going to be kicking me in the, And so she started crying. I just took her in my arms. In fact, she got around from where she had to be behind something and got right around me, and she just held me and cried. I said, Jesus loves you so much. And I said, do you have any money? She says, well, no, not yet. And I said, well, I have something for you. And she looked at me kind of like, oh. I took out the money that was given to me. And I knew that this was God. And so I gave her $20. And she just was crying. And then I thought, I'm going to give her more money. So I got my purse and got some money. I said, here's some more. And now she's really crying. And I'm looking around because I'm thinking they're going to, you better get out of here. So she came right around again. And she just held me. And she just cried. She didn't care who was around us. She had she just thought that Jesus had come. And I said, you know, Jesus loves you. That came from me, went to her. And so God is so good. He knows. Here I was worried, going back and forth, trying to find a place that's quicker. But it wasn't meant to be. So, yes, praise the Lord.
Oh, come, let us adore. guys hear me from up here? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say that the Lord, I want to say the Lord, when he came to my life and I started believing into the Lord, he turned my life around. The more I pray to the Lord, the more he's in our house. And I believe in all of you, and you believe in me. And I enjoy being part of you guys' family, because you are my family, people. And I care about you people. And as long as I'm here, I'll stay here as long as I live. Yeah, because Pastor Jeff, he's part of my family. His wife is part of my family. Everybody in this whole church is my family. And I enjoy having you guys as my family. Because what the Lord did to me, it was a miracle. Because I had a hard time believing in the Lord. And it was so hard for me to believe in him. But now I do. Because all you guys helped me believe in him. And it was just hard for me to pray to all you and you guys pray for me to have my life back to where I could, because I like this church. You know how many years I've been in this church, people? About 30 years I've been in this church. And I tell you what, the Lord has been good to me. I pray for him every day and every night. And I always pray for you guys every day, because you guys are so great in this house. Yeah. Thank you for praying for me. And also I want to thank you for praying for my dad, because my dad enjoyed you guys praying for him when he had cancer. Because my dad, he's up in heaven, and I think about him while he's in heaven. And I want to thank you for praying for him. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Everybody hear me? I'm sure you can. Just want to make sure. So we went to visit my family in Seattle, my husband's mom. And it's, you know, a lot more hustle and bustle there. There's more people and kind of feels a little more stressful than our little home of Idaho, our little Lewiston. And we went to a parade and there was people all over. And I'm feeling the stress and they're bumping into me and they're cutting in line and I'm getting frustrated, and I'm getting to a point where I want to tell someone off, like, stop it, don't bump into me. And then I think, how can we bring people to Christ if we are not like him? So if I had sat there and yelled at the person bumping into me, that obviously probably didn't have a choice because everybody's bumping into them, then they wouldn't have had the opportunity to just see the beauty of God through me. So I stopped and I thought, okay, is this really worth it? Am I going to remember this moment? Is this what I'm going to remember? No, I'm going to remember the beauty of watching my son see this parade and the beauty of watching my husband holding him at this young, precious age that I will never get back. So I just want those to be remembered that when even life gets so stressful and it gets irritating, that you're not going to remember that. Just remember that you're going to remember the beauty within that moment and to let go of what didn't go right, because nothing goes right. We actually had a kid that needed to see the parade, and they were small, and there's all these tall people, so they can't even see what's going on. And we let them go in front, and I thought, oh, this person in front of me is going to get so frustrated that they let them cut right in front of them. And the parents looked back and said, don't worry, I have your child. I'll take care of your child. I'll watch them while they get to watch the parade. And I thought, okay, God's like, see, that's why we do it, because it spreads throughout the world. So the world in this chaos right now, with everything that's going on with politics and this COVID and everything, just remember that the more we spread kindness, the more the world becomes kind. Because if we don't spread it and we become like them, we've lost the battle. So I just want to sit here today and be so thankful that I can come here and I can feel the love and the kindness and the testimonies of people spreading money and not even just about the money, but just saying, I hear you and I'm here with you. Even to hug you, a perfect stranger, and to hear your pain, I am here. And we might not always agree. We might have different thoughts or opinions, but it doesn't matter because our love for each other is there. It doesn't matter that I don't always agree with you, but it does matter that we are all built from the same thing in the hand of God. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Some big story about, you know, return on the money. I gave it to a friend of mine who's been having a really hard time and just reminded him that Jesus loves him, and I could just tell that that meant a lot to him. But what the Lord's been talking to me about this money stuff is how we're called to sow seeds and we don't always see the harvest. And he's just been really bringing that to my attention lately in my work. I'm sure a lot of you guys know that I'm a counselor. There's several people this month who has been, their lives have been shown to me radically changed. A guy through addiction, probably 40 years of addiction, he's been like probably 29 days sober for the first time since he was a teenager. And just... you know, yeah, right? Amen. And he messaged me and said, thank you. And it's like, I don't think I did anything besides just be consistent. And that's sometimes what people need. And another person is radically changed from where he was in addiction several years ago. And he comes in and we talk about Jesus. And he asks me questions about the Bible. And just that faithfulness of being in people's lives is what we're called to do. And that's what the Lord's been showing me about the finances. You guys might not see a lot of return, but God has roots of that are going to produce from that we will never know. But the other thing, so there's, you know, there's the long-term thing, right? But we also get returns that we don't expect either. So I didn't talk to my mom about this, so I'm sorry, Mama, but she has some short-term memory loss. And it's a challenge for her. It's a challenge for me. But my mom's remembered this money. She pulled it out the second Sunday and said, yeah, I'm praying about this. She's mentioned to it to me several times. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but I've been praying about it. And that's pretty big because it first shows the faithfulness of her to the Lord, but also just his faithfulness that he will, because I was concerned about her having it, if she would remember. But she's remembered consistently, and she picked somebody out who she was going to give it to. So I just wanted to share that God has unexpected blessings when we want to look for them.
Thank you. because I just really wanted to hear from the Lord. And I had a thought process of a guy. I'm in a Christian motorcycle club here in town, and there's a guy that hangs around at the Harley dealership. And in my flesh, I thought he was probably the one I needed to bless. But I had some concerns that he would use the money for alcohol, and I didn't want to do that. So I actually went, prayed about it. I went down to the Harley dealer, and I talked to a girl that works there. And I asked her, and she said, well, he's got sticky fingers because he had stolen something from her to buy alcohol. And that she thought he would use it too. So the Lord confirmed that wasn't the one. So I'm relatively new in town, so I asked her. I said, you know, is there anybody I could bless? And she said, well, you know, my daughter's a Christian, and they're trying to learn to live off-grid because they're concerned about the end times. And they're living up in Waha, and you could think about blessing her. So I went home, and I prayed about it, and then I called her back, and I said, yeah, you know, I really feel like the Lord's doing that. So last Sunday after church, my wife and I met her daughter at Rosar's in a neutral place. And we found out they have a little baby. Her husband's out of work. They're living off-grid with a lady that's trying to help mentally harm people, I guess, or whatever. But anyway, they're living in this little cabin. They have a wood stove. They have no electricity. They're trying to run off a generator. They have no money to run get the gas for the generator. She's going to a church up here. She's showing an interest in possibly coming here. They have no refrigerator, obviously, because they have no power. You know, Lord bless us. It's cold outside, so they can at least keep their food. So we offered to buy her diapers or whatever we needed because we were in the store, and she said she was okay on that. But we blessed her with the money, and we added some to it as well. She didn't make it here to church today, and I'm reasonably sure why. They actually have to ride a snowmobile out to the road to get to their car. So her husband, we prayed with her, prayed that, you know, if anybody, he's, I guess, pretty handy with mechanics, so if anybody needs any kind of mechanical work or something, maybe we as a body here could, we have her number, we might be able to bless her husband with something like that. But anyway, I give her a lot of credit. I mean, that's pretty hard to do, to have that much faith that we're living in the end of the end times, and they're wanting to learn how to live off grid. I can't imagine, you know, having a young baby living in this little cabin with just having to, you know, get wood for your heat sources and trying to deal with ice chests for food and everything else. So hopefully, Lord willing, she'll make it here to this church. Her mom's had came here before when it was Valley Christian, and she is expressing an interest in coming back. So I feel like the Lord used that money in a good way. That's my first testimony. My second one is we have a guy that's been riding. We have a process you have to go through to belong to a motorcycle club, and he's been hanging around with us, and this one's going to be a little tougher. I spent the better part of Christmas Eve with him coming off a drug trip. It was very challenging. One of my other brothers and I, we spent 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours with his family. I don't know what he was coming off of. I've never really experienced this before. He actually called the police on himself and told him that he had murdered somebody, but he didn't know who. And, of course, they held him in custody for a while until they realized that he was having this psychotic experience, and they let him go because when we got to the house, he wasn't there. The police were there with his mom. Eventually, the squad car came, brought him back. But he was convinced that there was people in the attic. There was people talking to him from the floor. There were snipers going to shoot through the windows. And all we could do was pray and read the word over him. We got him to pray. We anointed the entire house with oil. We had asked, you know, for any demonic spirits or entities that are attached to him to leave him. Even commanded him in the name of Jesus. I do believe there was some that came out. But it's just a sad story, you know, to watch somebody go through that, you know. And he didn't understand what was going on. And he's like, do you hear that? And I'm like, no, brother, I'm sorry. I don't hear it. I mean, you're hearing these voices in your head. And we got out the word and we used Ephesians 6. And we told him how to do spiritual warfare against these forces that were putting these ideas in his head. And so he seemed to calm down. We laid hands on him a lot. Like I said, we prayed. We got him to read the word. And then we left. And then the Lord just asked me or told me that I needed to go back and bless his mom with some money. So I went, and I went back and actually gave her some money, which was outside of this. But I just want to follow what the Lord's asking me to do. And I'm at a new place in my relationship with the Lord. I've been walking with him for a long time, and I've had issues myself with alcoholism. But I realize that this day, and I'm encouraging everybody in here to just follow what the Lord's asking you to do. It may not make sense, but just do it. Even that guy, you know, he wanted me to take him over to his brother's house and his sister-in-law's, and they have pretty much just walked away from the family. They don't want to talk to him anymore. And I tried to tell him, I don't really think it's going to, you know, this isn't going to happen. It's Christmas Eve. I don't really think this is a good idea to go there today. So he actually got kind of angry with me. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, brother, but, you know, I just don't think this is the right time to do this. And it's, I spent most of Christmas Eve with you, and I need to be with my family. And then he called my other brother back here, Rich, and asked him to come down to go in the attic with him to see if there was somebody in that attic, because he was actually convinced that there was people up in that attic. So I didn't hear from him yesterday, but we got a text message yesterday afternoon, saying that he feels like somebody doused him with some bath salts. I don't know if that's true or not. I think he actually probably took it on his own accord. But he did say that he was happy that we were there for him and that he's going to try to check himself into some kind of recovery program. So that was my Christmas Eve. So thanks for letting me share with you.
Hi. I was so hoping that I would be able to come here today and tell who God blessed with the money plus. But I never ran into anybody. That person who I was supposed to give to is still out there, and I know I'll find them. But what happened to me, I wanted to share because it might be needed by other people. Christmas Eve was also interesting for me. I was kind of feeling bad because I don't have any family here, and my husband passed away a couple years ago, and whatever. My daughter was going to be working Christmas Day, so I'm kind of like blue. Anyway, and Christmas Eve, I get a message on my phone, and it's from somebody. And I won't say what it was, but other than somebody dying that you dearly love, that's how bad it was. And my heart just sunk. And it was so bad, and it was Christmas, and I really didn't feel like it was anything that I could share with anybody. And my daughter was already in bed sleeping, and I didn't want to tell her anyway. So, you know, I slept the night, and the next morning I woke up, and last Wednesday when I was here to pray, there was a whole box of communion, little communion cups sitting back there. And I felt led to take an extra one. I took communion here, and then I took the other cup home. And on Christmas morning, my daughter was gone. I'm sitting there, and I remember that communion cup. So I'm going to take communion. So I went and I got it. And I took the little communion at home alone, and I prayed for this other person and me and Jesus and healing and restoration. I could not believe it. I took the communion. I got up. All that pain was gone. absolutely gone. Just sitting in my home, saying a little short prayer. I didn't whine and complain. I prayed for them. Whatever. So I felt like I wanted to share that because, and then I walked in here and I see communion and I thought, God is so, so loving and so merciful. And he's just there with us through everything. So anyway, Christmas Day turned out good. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I just want to share a few more with you. And then I'm going to hand it off to the Pelleteers to lead us in communion. Shelley Stiles, along with Susie Stedman from Abundant Life, took the money and gave it to local ministries that they're in partnership with. So Willow Creek, the Elsie Valley Adult Resource Center, and I think she said three, but I only see two. Oh, and King's Corner, which I'm not familiar with, but they work with youth that are ages 12 to 17. And so again, just obeying the Lord. Jennifer's not here this morning, but she gave me permission to share this. And so Jennifer is a single mom with her son. They attend here. And so she has a friend whose son also goes to school with her son. And she usually meets up with her after they drop their kids off. And so she had decided to add to the $20 another $80, making it $100. And after dropping off the kids, they got together, and she ended up giving the money to her and giving her a card with the verse 1 Corinthians 13:13 that had been on her mind as she was praying for this friend. And in doing so, she realized that this woman was in a financial struggle where she wasn't able to get gifts. She'd been out of work, and she hadn't been able to complete any Christmas shopping yet for her son. And so Jennifer just said that having been a single mom who had struggled for years, it blessed her to be able to bless this friend. And then this friend was extremely blessed by the blessing. And again, just recognizing that Jennifer had been there. I've been there, I've struggled, and it was such a blessing to be able to know that I'm no longer there, I no longer have to worry about that, but then now I can bless somebody else. Wow. The other one, Jeremy, Marnie, you guys okay? So Jeremy, Marnie, Ari, and Asher, they're up in the balcony right now. They also did a treasure hunt, and so they prayed, and they wrote down some clues, and it says that first went to Locomotive Park. We saw many clues there, but we didn't feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit. So our second stop was the dollar store, where we met an elderly woman wearing glasses and a dark coat, which were part of their clues. And so they had found their treasure. Her name was Elaine. And we found out her house was recently burglarized and has moved in with friends. She is planning on moving to Louisiana. So they had pulled their money together, and they gave her all the money after they prayed for her and prayed for financial blessings. And so again, the beauty of just treasure hunting, listening to the Lord, and reaching out. And then, Kim, I didn't ask for permission, but are you okay if I just share this next one? So Kim, Mark's wife, who just got up and shared, responded to a family that had reached out looking for help during the holidays with kids. Also found out that their son was 14, a stepson, had just recently tried to kill himself. And so again, they were able to pray for him and put him on a prayer chain. I'm just kind of summarizing. And no, that's okay. I think I'm missing the part about... you guys bought the gifts for the kids. Right, so she was reaching out for two other families, and then you ended up also buying gifts and taking them to her, to them. So again, the praise and the awesome opportunity that you guys had, and that you've agreed to stay in touch. And so again, the beauty of obeying the Lord, finding opportunities where maybe you don't normally look, is part of what this was about. And so thank you. What I want to encourage you to do as we just kind of take the next few moments is to realize that we all have a testimony. You know, Dean gets up and shares about the beauty of family and his salvation. Liz is talking about the heartache of, and, you know, Mark also similar, the heartache. That'll always be with us. No matter what day, what time of year, there'll always be heartache. But we are called to be instruments and be the children of God that bring the blessing. And sometimes you just need that in your life. And I want to encourage you to connect with others. This morning, the Pelleteers are going to lead us in communion. And the beauty of communion that we have the opportunity to experience is remembering that Jesus is a living testimony. He's the Lamb of God. And so would you give the Pelleteers just a warm welcome, and they're going to take us into this next few moments, and then we'll wrap up and sing a song this morning.
Good morning, everyone. So this is my daughter, Emma. Oh, this is our daughter, Emma. And this is Judah and Malachi. And we're going to read some scriptures before we take communion. And maybe you've never seen communion this way, but we just invite you to experience Jesus in a new way as we take communion, because there's such revelation when we take communion. And so,
Acts 2:42-44. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had.
That was actually, sometimes that scripture becomes familiar to us, but that scripture verse is incredibly powerful when we look at how the first followers of Jesus, how they celebrated communion. And there was, the scripture says in Acts, there was a deep sense of awe. And so can we just pray? Because sometimes I think when we think about communion, we all have different mindsets and different thoughts about communion. Some of us, it's a weekly thing. Some of us, we only take it monthly. Some of us, maybe it's just an annual thing. And maybe some of you do take it daily. But I just want at this moment, and that was the beauty I kept hearing the Lord say as we're sharing testimonies, he truly is Emmanuel, God with us. And he's dwelling with us. And I could hear through your heart of each one of you sharing that you found the beauty of being present, because Jesus is ever present. And there is something, I think there's something, there's an encounter for each one of us when we learn to be present, not only with the Lord, but be present with one another, and where we find value of being present. So I'm just going to pray. And if you just want to pray over your heart, because I truly, our heart here as a Pelleteer family, we don't really want this Sunday just to be, I just took communion again. This is because this is what, as followers of Jesus, is what we do. And it is something, it's an honor and a privilege, but it's so much more than that. So if we could just pray over our heart. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you that Jesus, you are love, and that you are relational. And Lord, because you are love and that you are relational, then that's what communion is all about. Is about love and about relationship. And Lord, we just ask for forgiveness for where we have made communion just a ritual, and we've really lost the awe and the wonder of taking communion. So Lord, we just repent of wrong mindsets and wrong thinking about communion. And so Lord, we just welcome a fresh revelation. We welcome the mysteries to unfold as we take communion. We even welcome new thinking about and belief system about communion. Lord, that there is a new level of relationship with you each time we take communion. Lord, that as we take the body and we take the blood, it's the unity of being one with you. So, Lord, we just welcome revelation, 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 that this would set a new day and a new level of encounters and in finding you this morning, Lord, that as we even take it a little differently, Lord, that we just welcome the new in Jesus' name.
John 6:48-58. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna through the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread in which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
Amen. Amen. So we are going to take communion together, realizing that it is the body, the flesh of Jesus, and the blood. And I'm not here to explain it much beyond that, because this is really the beauty of our walk with the Lord, is to have mysteries unfolded before us. But Jesus is the bread of life. And so when he died on the cross, he sealed the covenant in blood. And so my husband's going to be reading the different names of God. And I just, as we take it, and so it's bigger than, you know, those little cup, because we get the opportunity. So each time there's a name of God mentioned, we get to come into agreement with that essence, that character of Jesus. So when we take communion and my husband reads the name of God, you can just say out loud, I just come into the agreement of who you say you are. Or you can just personalize, I just receive you. So he's going to go through the name. So the first one is Yahweh. He is I am. So you can even say it as you take the body and take the blood, I just receive you, I am. So this is really personal, but the beautiful thing is we get to take it together as family. So what we're going to do, because as you read in Acts, they were all gathered together in unity. And I have no idea how glorious that moment of taking communion together when everybody's in unity. But we're going to get, so what you're going to do, this is communion. So you get bread and you get grape juice. And so we're going to take it like this. So each person can have this. So you're going to come up and grab your cup and bread. And we're going to kind of make this big, long oval. And we're going to take communion together. So we just invite everybody to come down, take your cup and your bread, and we will take communion together.
And for those online, grab water if you have to. You don't have grape juice. Grab something and take it with us, because you're family. You're just not here in our vicinity. Yeah, we'll just make a big oval down here as family. And as Dean put it, we are a huge, awesome, happy family. Praise God. And I love hearing those testimonies, because God's word says we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. So, Lord, we thank you for those testimonies being released in the atmosphere. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. And I look at this meal also as just victory. It's a victory meal. It's victorious. So as I read these, I have eight of them, and there's so many names of God that is just amazing, but these are the ones we chose. And the first one is Yahweh. We're just going to feast upon Yahweh. I am. Yahweh means the Lord, is diverted from the Hebrew word I am. God's name Yahweh is one of authority. It is one that holds great power. And it says to all who hear, I am the one true God. Follow me. God is alive, the great I am. He forever, he never changes. So we can trust his loving leadership in our lives. So just take a bite. Drink him in, Lord. We just thank you that you are the great I am over our lives. The next is El Roi. El Roi means God who sees. The love, kindness, and care that is this name holds as it points to God's character. He is the one who chases after us, who follows us with his goodness. He is the one who sees us when we feel lonely, all on our own, or when we just need a reminder that God is close. Just like the love, those testimonies of just hugging those that need it. Lord, we thank you that you are close. Your name, El Roi, says to us that God is watching over all, and he sees the affairs of people and knows when we feel lost and unloved. Lord, thank you for you who sees. We feast upon you. Thank you, Jesus. God Almighty, El Shaddai. His name, El Shaddai, reminds us that he is all-powerful. He is the Mighty One. He is the 911, Psalms 91:1, to run to. And we can find refuge and rest in his shadow. This verse and God reminder is that he is the Almighty, gives us security and assurance that nothing else around us can offer. He is the God who sees all, knows all, and has the power to go before us. Walk with us daily and cover us from behind. Dwelling in God's presence gives us shelter and rest. We thank you for that. You are El Shaddai. We feast upon El Shaddai, Almighty. Sorry, I'm not giving you guys time to like eat and digest him, but Lord, we do. We feast upon you. We feast upon your victory. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. God will provide for our needs, every one of them. He is faithful. He is able. Nothing is too difficult for him. We can trust in him that his timing is perfect and that all things are possible for them, even when we can't see the way out. So, Lord, we thank you that we are with you and we are that light to provide for others that can't. But, Lord, you are our perfect provider, Jehovah Jireh. And we just feast upon that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nisi means my banner, and his name of God that proclaims his protection, his leadership, and deliverance for his people. If we allow him to be in control, he will do more on our behalf than we could ever mean possible on our own. So, Lord, we thank you that your banner is over us. We feast in knowing that you are a protector, you are over us. Even as his word says, his banner over us is love. Lord, we thank you for your love. We feast upon that. We feast upon you, Lord. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Rapha means healer, the Lord who heals. Healing and deliverance from disease, illness, brokenness, or pain from circumstances. For I am the Lord who heals you. We feast upon that, Lord. Your word says, by your stripes we are healed. Thank you for your stripes, Lord. Thank you that we feast upon your goodness. We feast upon that healing. Thank you, Jesus, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. God is the only one able to give us the peace that surpasses all of our own understanding. He is our true peace. So we never need to fear, no matter what we face. So Lord, we feast upon that peace. Let that peace never, ever, ever leave us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your peace. And God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. He spoke things into being, and all things, every cell, every breath, every thought, are sustained by him. There is nothing too difficult for him to do. So, Lord, you are God all-powerful, God omnipotent. We feast upon that. Let the blood within our very bones reside with that, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your body and your blood. Jesus. So, Lord, I just declare, Father, that we praise the God of power, the God omnipotent. We give you glory, the God of Shalom. Father, we give you the awe and wonder of the God Rapha, who we could reach out to any time, any moment, and we could also be that arm and that hand and that hug. Father, you are the God of the Jehovah Nisi, the banner over us. We praise you. We give you glory, the Jehovah Jireh, our provider. El Shaddai, Almighty, we love you. El Roy, the God who sees, we embrace you. And Yahweh, the great I am, you are our living God, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this feast of victory. May we always just feast upon you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all said amen.
Hallelujah.
Can we honor the Pelletiers and just say thank you? Awesome. I want to invite you just to kind of stay right where you're at. We're going to close with a song. While the worship team's coming back up and you're finishing your communion, there's some trash cans. The orange buckets are not trash cans. The orange buckets are our offering, and that empty cup is not an offering. But we're going to pray over our offering. We want to bless you, send you out a reminder. Our offices are just under some renovation this week. We're getting new carpet. Thank you, Brian and Tim and Dennis and Mary, who came out and helped us prep and paint and just get us ready as Skeletons is going to come in this week and start to lay carpet. If you are available on Tuesday, January 4th, in the morning, we're going to have to put all our stuff back. Well, actually, not all of it's going back. We're going to sift through some of it. So what's that? We did break a desk table, so that one is not going back in there. We would love the help. And again, just ask for prayers as, again, that crew gets in there this week to lay all that carpet. The other thing is next Sunday we will be here. It's January 2nd. It'll look a little different, similar to today's service. But we are going to pray, and the whole service will be about prayer. And we're going to pray through the whole campus and pray through the property. And so hopefully it'll be a nice day out. But again, if you've never wandered through our building and seen all the little nooks and crannies, next Sunday will be an opportunity. If walking is not your thing, there will be worship going on in here, and you're able to sit and intercede and stay here. But just a prep. We will be praying through the building and opening up all the doors and moving around. We've done this over the years, and we like to do this as just kind of a annual spiritual house cleaning, but also praying for wisdom and discernment. So you can start this week and just be praying for that as we come into next Sunday. We're going to pray over tithes and offering. And so if you have a tithe and offering, this will be the last. This is the last week if you want it to be recorded in 2021, and then after the first of the year, we'll give out the contribution statements for those of you that turn it in, and we recognize by giving you your name, and you want that contribution statement for taxes. But with that, Kim, did you have an announcement, or were you raising your hand to?
Yeah,
exactly. So if you can't hear Kim, she's just commenting on that picture of just recognizing multiplication. And so we gave out 2,000. People have added to it. Doubling it would be 4,000. But, you know, many stories in the Bible of just multiplication and the baskets being filled, especially after they broke bread and had fish. So new carpet starts in the office this week.